Comics crew. I welcome you guys to the latest episode of In the Mix with Leah B. I am your host, Leah B. Yes, y'all, I'm so mad right now because I had to re-record this episode. I was in the process of getting ready to drop this bad boy, and like as I was editing it was a total epic fail. So yeah, so we are re-recording this episode. I welcome you guys. Hope you guys are enjoying this weekend. And I was gonna record this episode yesterday, but stuff happens, but whatever. Anyway, hope you guys are having a fantastic weekend, and happy Black History Month to all my people. Yes, so this episode, it is on Miss Sade. Yes, Miss Sade, 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 Sade. Yeah, y'all, I was a fan. I'm not a super fan of hers, but, I enjoy her music. There's a few songs that I like of hers. I grew up on her, you know, as an 80s baby growing up in the 90s. This is all I heard. Like, she's real jazzy, and I just remember, like, how I discovered her music was, I would say, through my dad, because he would always listen to jazz, contemporary jazz. And plus, being in Detroit, we had a lot of, like, jazz stations. All my Detroit people know about V98.7 and WJZZ, and they would play her stuff all the time. They wouldn't really play her stuff on like R&B stations, but yeah, that's how I really discovered her music. So let's get into it. Sade was born Helen Fade. That's her name. Her middle name, Fade Adu. In Nigeria on January of 1959, and her middle name, Fade, means honor, and honor earned the crown. Her dad was a Nigerian lecturer in economics, and her mom was an English district nurse. And they met in London. That's how they met. Got married in 1955. And when they got married, they moved back to Nigeria. And that's when they had Sade and her brother. They got divorced when she was 4. And after they got divorced, her mom went back to London. And she moved with their was being watched by her grandparents, and then at 11 she moved back with her mom, and because she completed her high school education at a with her mom. And then after she graduated high school, she went to this institute in London, where she discovered studied fashion design at a design school called St. Martin School of Art. And she completed her, when she completed her degree in fashion design, she did modeling as well. And that's when she began, she did modeling briefly. And while she was modeling, she was backup. She was a backup singer for this group called Pride. And during that time, one of the guys in the group, that's when they formed a partnership. They, you know, hit up each other, wanted to do write songs together. And so they were writing songs together and doing their own gigs and stuff as the group Pride. And then she was doing her solo performances as well. And her solo performances she was doing, it was on, she did a demo tape as she was performing around town. The solo song that she did was Smooth Operator. As she was doing those solo performances of that particular song, it attracted the attention of record companies. And by 1983, Sade and her songwriting partner split from Pride, and they brought along their keyboardist, a bass player, and a drummer, and they formed a band using her name called Sade. And as they were performing, by the time she performed her first show at a London nightclub called Heaven, that's when she became extremely popular. And one night, I guess when she was performing at the club, 1,000 people had to be turned away at the door. That's how popular she was at that nightclub. And by May of 83, she performed her first show. Her and her band members and stuff performed their first show in the U.S. at a New York nightclub called Dance Etc. in New York. And on by October of 83, Sade herself was signed to Epic Records, and the rest of the group was signed a year later in 1984. Boop boop, my year of birth, baby. But anyway, following the record deal that they got, that's when they began to perform Diamond Life, the debut album Diamond Life, which took 6 weeks, basically a month to record, and it was recorded entirely in London at the Power Plant studio. That's like an extremely popular recording studio in London. That's where everybody like did their albums and stuff like that there. And Diamond Life was released in July of 84, and it reached number 2 on the UK album charts, and it sold over 1.2 million copies in the UK. And that album won a Brit Award for Best British Album in 1985. And the album itself did well internationally, reaching number 1 in several countries and in the top 10 in the US, where it exceeded 4 million copies at that time. Diamond Life had international sales of 6 million records, and it became one of the top debut recordings of the 1980s. So basically, she ruled the 80s, no doubt. And it was the best-selling debut ever by a British female vocalist. And then the lead single off the debut album was Your Love Is King, and that was released in February of 84. It became extremely popular and all throughout Europe pretty much, and it charted at number 7 in Ireland and number 6 on the UK charts. But it didn't do very well on the US charts at all. I mean, it was successful, but it wasn't like a hit. It peaked at number 54 on the singles chart. And the third single was Smooth Operator, which was the song that she was singing when she was trying to get her name out there with her band members and everything. That was released. That was on that album too. And that was released in September of 84, which became the most successful song here in the U.S. And it peaked at number 5 here and on the Hot 100. And it went number 5 on the Hot 100 and the R&B charts as well. And in Europe, it did well, of course, always. It peaked at number 19 and it reached the top 20 in Austria, Switzerland, France, and Germany by late 1985. That's when they released their second album called The Promise, which reached number 1 on the UK, in the UK and the US, which became her first album to reach number 1 in the US. It did well. It topped the chart in 1986 and it spent 2 weeks on the peak position. And after that, that's when it went on to sell 4 million copies, and it was certified 4 times platinum as well. And it had 2 songs on there, which is Never As Good As The First Time and The Sweetest Taboo. Yes, that's my jam too. And it was The Sweetest Taboo was the lead single off that album, and it stayed on the Hot 100 for 6 months. And it peaked at number 5 on the R&B Hot Singles tracks. And Sade became so popular on some of the radio stations that they basically, it was a practice in the 70s where, I guess in the 70s they would play like all the album tracks of one album. And also during that time, they put Love, Is It a Crime and Tar Baby that was on that on their playlist as well. That's how popular they became. Cause back in the 70s, I think they would actually play like people's whole songs. Like, cause you know, like I think now they don't really play the whole, I mean, they play the whole song, but they go straight to commercial break. I think they actually played the actual album in the 70s. So by 1986, that's when they won a Grammy for Best New Artist. And also during in 1986, that was like, 86 was their year, pretty much. She made her acting debut in a British movie called Absolute Beginners, which was adapted from a book. An author named Colin Machines. And it was basically about life in 1950s London. And she played the role of Athene Duncanson. And that's when she lended her vocals to the soundtrack. It was premiered at the Cannes Film Festival and grossed like $1.8 million in London. And also that time by 1988, that's when they released their third album, Stronger Than Pride, and that became a commercial success as well, which was certified 3 times platinum in the US. And it had 4 singles off there, which was Paradise, which peaked at number 16 on the US charts, and peaked at number one on the R&B charts as well, which became the first single to do so for that album. So by the 90s, they released their fourth album called Love Deluxe in 92. The album peaked at number three on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, the U.S. Billboard 200 charts, and sold like 3.4 million copies here in the U.S. And it was certified 4 times platinum at that time. And by 94, that's when they were kind of doing, they did release their a compilation album. It was like the best of Sade, pretty much. It did good. It was basically all songs from her previous albums and whatnot. And she did a cover song, which was called Please Send Me Someone to Love, which was a 50s song by a guy named Percy Mayfield. So that's when she took a break. She didn't come, they didn't release their fifth album until 2000. One thing about her, she be taking them the longest breaks ever. Like, she can come back and still be hot. That's how she do it. And that was called Lovers Rock. It was released in November of 2000. And when she came back, it received awesome reviews. And it was certified triple platinum. And it went on to sell 3.9 million copies in the U.S. by February of, February 2010. So, in 2002, she won a Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Album, and By Your Side, which was the lead single, was nominated for a Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal, but she lost to Nelly Furtado. And it was basically the greatest love song by VH1. And that's when they went on tour. And it was the Lovers Rock Tour. I remember she came up here too, and I wanted to see her because I never saw her in concert. I always wanted to see how she put on a good show, but never did. So, it was doing well. Like, it ruled the early 2000s, pretty much. And then she took another break. That's when she released Soldier of Love, which came out in 2010. It released February 2010. It was the first album in 10 years to basically with new material. And that's when it went really well. The first week sales sold over 502,000 copies. And Soldier of Love became the first album to debut at number one. And the second album to peak at number one on the Billboard charts. And that album did so well. It did well, better than AC/DC when they released their album Black Ice, which was in November of 2008. And basically, they became basically she became the longest act to really have the longest hiatus between number one albums. And I think by 1985, and between Soldier of Love, it was between those two albums, it was 24 years when she released. Between that time and 2010. So, she performed for the Soldier of Love album, which was a live tour. And so she hasn't released anything since 2010. But I think in 2018, they reunited again, and they released like an acoustic song called Flower of Universe, which was for the Disney film A Wrinkle in Time. And and when she did that, the director, Ava DuVernay, she never thought in a million years she would like do a song on the soundtrack. So also in 2008 she released 2018, she released a song called The Big Unknown for the soundtrack Windows, and Steve McQueen directed it, and it was an original song. And he said she agreed to write the song for the film because the original series of Windows had deeply resounded with her. So I guess Windows was like a remake, pretty much. And they released their seventh album, which was it was a successor, which was in the works. So they were the first to record their seventh album in a medieval studio, where they recorded Promise and Stronger Than Pride. So she's still on the, as far as albums are concerned, she was still, you know, doing her thing or whatnot. But her legacy is just amazing. So I'm just going to talk about her legacy. The New Yorker subscribed her voice as a grainy alto. So basically her voice is very, she has an alto type voice, such as myself. Yeah, I used to sing in the choir. So they called her voice a full of air that portrays a slight ache but no agony, and values often imperfected dignity over the show of pain, a deeply English quality that makes categorizing the artist's voice difficult. Her voice was described by the BBC as husky and restrained compared to Billie Holiday. And BBC also called her songwriting significantly soulful and jazzy, yet poppy, yet funky, easy listening to compare to appeal to fans of all genres. She's been known as a pop star. Also, the New Yorker created the most profitable catalogs in pop. Her success, like, is contribute to the combination of her unique beauty, seemingly indefinable origins, and mysterious persona. Sade's work has been influenced and recognized by many singers. Many singers love her. Rakim of Arrogant Rakim said he grew up on her, and he loved her voice and style. He referenced her song Smooth Operator and his song called Microphone Fiend in 1988. Quali said that he learned precision from her due to her performance of Love Deluxe at the Madison Square Garden. And Missy Elliott also cited Smooth Operator as one of her favorite songs as well. And another group, Tanya Morgan, described her as one of her favorite artists. Basically, she's an influence to everybody. The Clips, everybody in the Clips. Kanye West made her influence as well. And Brandy also cited her as a influence as well. Beyonce too called her music a true friend and an inspiration. Aaliyah, who happens to have the same birthday as her, by the way, admired Sade, and she basically says she stays true to her style no matter what. She's an amazing artist and amazing performer. Brandy cited her as well, using her as her vocal performances as well. And a heavy rock also called her rock performer, called her inspiration as well. And one thing about this woman, she is like awesome, like totally awesome. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I apologize, I'm mad I had to re-record this, but I appreciate you rocking with me and whatnot. So, all right, y'all, if you want to follow the podcast, it's In the Mix with LeahB.com on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, have a website, In the Mix with LeahB.com. I'm on Twitter as well, so follow me. All right, y'all, until next time. Peace and love.